Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to a new episode of the Run and Plays podcast with Grant Lifman. I'm Kareth Burke, and we have a Hall of Fame broadcaster with us. It's Bob Fitzgerald. He's been calling Warriors games for 25 years, and you're appearing on the pod to share some pretty good news. You've been selected by TNT to call some of these postseason games in the bubble. Congratulations on that, Bob. What do you know about the assignment right now? Are you going to be following one team or everybody to the end?
Well, I tell you, it's interesting, as I knew I would be doing basketball in the summer, and you were going to be with me, Kareth, because we were selected to do the Tokyo Olympics for NBC. So I was kind of, the Warriors had kind of an off season, had a bunch of injuries, but I still was gearing up for this massive tournament in Tokyo, and getting to do the Olympics again, I was really excited, and having you alongside was going to be great. So then you have this worldwide pandemic, which obviously makes basketball recede a little bit into the background. But for the playoffs to be selected by TNT and NBA TV to go do some of the national games is really an honor. I mean, it's something I'm really thrilled about. Obviously, the Warriors have been busy with the playoffs the previous 7 years, so I was never available. So this is a kind of a nice happenstance to make it work. I'll get down there, and I've read all the protocols and videos and signed my life away as far as behavioral things and not getting within 10 feet of people and all, the NBA has been amazing in terms of how strict, how professional, and how well done the whole bubble concept has been. So I already have had all the logistical stuff for my travel and arrival and all that, but I'll call my first game on Tuesday for the first round of the playoffs. And really with TNT, it could be any of the series. So I'm preparing for all 16 teams in the playoffs, and you could get maybe Milwaukee, Brooklyn, maybe you get Clippers, somebody, maybe you get an OKC, Dallas. So, fortunately, being in the league as long as I have, I know all the teams, but I'm studying for a tournament. It's just not the Olympic tournament. It's the NBA tournament.
What's your biggest curiosity about the bubble? I know you have the handbook and all that kind of stuff, but thing that you are just unsure about what it will be like.
What do you do when you're not calling a game? It
sounds like,
from talking to my buddies Kevin Harlan and Mike Breen and Ian Eagle, that there's a lot of game prep, production meetings, call a game, but there's still 24 hours in the day, and it's a lot of hotel room time and a lot of social distancing. So in terms of books and Netflix and other things to keep myself entertained, I'm there till the end of August, so I'm there for almost 20 days. So that will be an interesting challenge. We've all been on long road trips, but that is a very lengthy time to be traveling and, be in one area.
Now, I know you're going in there as, you're unbiased. You're not committed to any of these teams, but are you allowed to give us some thoughts about who you think might be successful in this postseason, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, if you love the NBA, Mike Breen does the Knicks and Ian Eagle does the Nets, and obviously I do the Warriors. And so, you have your team, but then you also have, the league situation. Let's start in the East. I mean, for me, the Toronto Raptors, when they win the championship a year ago, many of Dub Nation members and most people around the league say, hey, no Durant, and you lose Klay Thompson, and, this is Toronto full strength against the Warriors would not have beaten the Warriors. I'm going to go to, to say that forever. But this Toronto addition, losing Kawhi Leonard and being maybe better than they were as a championship team, is really a credit to Masai Ujiri and Nick Nurse and the Raptors in general, because Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam has become a star. You know, guys like OG Anunoby and Powell, and then they're playing Ibaka and Marc Gasol. I'm so impressed with Toronto. So that would be one team I'm looking at. I think Milwaukee, do they learn from, you know, kind of flaming out the year before? There's all this pressure on Giannis, but they're an awfully good team as well. And Brad Stevens is a great coach, so Boston is a team to be watching. Then you flip to the West. Secretly, I'm hoping for a Portland-Laker first-round matchup because the Blazers have taken advantage of this restart with Nurkic coming back, Zach Collins coming back, and Lillard and McCollum rested, ready, and energized, and they're playing a tight eight-man rotation, playing great basketball. So Clippers-Lakers, people will talk about that, but Denver is good. Dallas is interesting. OKC, the year Chris Paul has had, has been amazing. And again, I'm still looking at the Blazers saying, wait, if they could sneak in, this really could be something. So there's so many compelling matchups. And the one thing, you know, Kareth knows this, and you know this, Grant, for watching all this, I think not traveling, the guys have way more energy, way better focus, and you have basketball. You have practice prep and basketball. All the plane flights guys have to take in the playoffs. I mean, I remember Warrior Championship runs where it's like, wait a minute, seven-gamer in New Orleans, seven-gamer in Memphis, then going to Houston, then going to Cleveland. Like, just the thousands of air miles to accomplish that playoff run. This is shuttle buses from your hotel to the arena. I think from a physical standpoint, guys are going to be rested, ready, and have a lot more energy.
Yeah, and if you also think about it, and I know this has been talked about a little bit, but usually one of the biggest advantages when you go into playoffs and having the top seeds is home court advantage. We're playing at a neutral site for both these teams. Sure, they're going to pump in some crowd noise, which, by the way, I'm interested in is if there's a few seconds left in the game, who gets to decide how loud a volume they're putting on that, you know, that guy shooting that free throw in the end? But seriously, we're at neutral sites. That's going to change things dramatically.
It does. And, you know, talking to some of the guys there, it is different to not have all the ambient noise. But to your point, the league has done a good job of the crowd noise, of the virtual fans. And I believe off the NBA app, if you're a Blazer fan and everybody's cheering, you can adjust the volume in the building for your team. So I think it's how many virtually engaged fans for different teams may sway kind of the environment.
You know, Bob, this is a really cool honor for you, and I'm not surprised, of course. You have a very long career. You've called men and women's basketball. You've called the Olympics. You've called swimming. You've called water polo. You've called the NFL and college football. But I was wondering if you could take us into the craft a little bit about calling NBA basketball. You know, when fans are watching this play out on television, you still have to illustrate for some things for them and leave space for your color commentator to do the same. How have you felt out how to run a broadcast?
Well, I think it's a good question. It's one that people don't talk about a lot, Kareth, is that the NBA right now, and like anything in sports, is littered with analytics and numbers, okay? So you can either call the game, and you have television, so, you know, the video and the actual play is happening. So you want to describe that, but you don't have to say, as opposed to radio, foul line, extended right, or right corner, or top of the key, because that's kind of self-evident with the video. You also don't want to do what I call read the phone book, where you just constantly numbers, 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 numbers. Stats have to have a point in terms of if Steph Curry has 18 points in the fourth quarter, and you're talking about Steph as one of the four highest scoring fourth quarter players in the league, that stat is relevant to the fourth quarter and the fourth quarter Steph is having. And so I think that sometimes less is more in that, to your point, let your analyst opine on something that he could foreshadow that might happen. Isolate a matchup to keep an eye on. Bring in your sideline reporter with maybe a story for a pregame or something that a player's been working on with a specific coach that might come into play right down the stretch here. Tell the story a little bit. I think that on television, you have that luxury of not having to describe every single pass, yet your job really is the play-by-play guy is to be the basketball version of John Stockton. I'm going to dish off to Karl Malone. I'm going to throw it inside to Rudy Gobert. I'm going to take an open shot if it's there for me, but I'm going to run things. And that means, to Grant's point, trying to bring in the crowd. Well, there isn't a crowd here as much. So you're not laying out for crowd noise. So that's going to be a little bit different. But you're the guy flying the plane, and you're looking around, and how do I best utilize all my teammates and put on the right broadcast? So for me, I started on radio, 30 years ago. So you have that in there, but I've called so many games, and 15, 20 years ago wasn't nearly as accomplished maybe as I am now and more comfortable. So I really do watch a lot of my own work, but also look at Mike Breen and Kevin Harlan and people that really set the standard for this business, and then try to bring, your authenticity and your own flavor to the game. But I'm an excitable person.
Yes.
I cheer for the excellence in basketball. If someone blows by somebody for a dunk, you have two choices. You can accentuate Antetokounmpo went in and dunked it, or you can talk about the defender and let him go right by him. I'm more of a positive person, so I'm going to accentuate the excellence and the accomplishments of the players. I don't spend much time trying to kick people in the groin. I think that ends up being a very tiresome way of looking at sports.
How have you learned when not to speak during a game?
That comes with time. I think that when you have big moments, unfortunately, the last 7-8 years for the Warriors have been great, is some of the best calls are to call the play and shut up. And that really, I think of Clay's 37-point quarter, or Barron's dunk over Kirilenko, or even Antoine Jameson and Kobe getting 51 together in an overtime game. Some of that on the rewatch is call the play and then shut up. I think that guys over-talk, over-scream, over-impose their volume on top of the reaction. And that really is when you're letting your director paint the picture with replays, with crowd react, which again, we won't have, but you might have a bench reaction, and it's kind of your job to write the captions, but not be overbearing. It's, everybody likes hot fudge sundae, but you got to have ice cream. Don't put so much hot fudge on it that you taste nothing but the hot fudge. Like, sprinkle it in there. There's a little art to that, I think.
Are you allowed to go in there and someone makes a three and go bang? Are you allowed to do that?
I have never been a catchphrase guy. not from Bill King's Holy Toledo, not to Kipes. He hits it high, he hits it deep, he hits it out of here. Not a bang guy, not a three ball corner pocket guy. I just never did that. Now, if people watch Warrior basketball, I have two things that I do in every game. Is usually a very long three is from a local city somewhere outside the arena. Yep. I liked Piedmont when we were in Oracle. I might have the Ferry Building at Chase Center or something, but that's one. If you're in Detroit, Michigan, and you take a shot from Auburn Hills, it might be from Ypsilanti or something like that. That one's in there all the time. And then the greatest, in my mind, one of the greatest play-by-play calls of any sport is Jack Nicklaus's Masters in 1986 on 16. He rolls in a 25-foot putt, and Vern Lundquist says, "Yes, sir!" And I steal that, and I use it once a game. And I think the coolest thing is that if you listen to basketball the last 4 or 5 years, because so many Warrior games have had highlights all over every medium, you hear younger announcers say, "Yes, sir." And that is from the Warrior games, but it's really from Vern Lundquist and the Masters in 1986 as a little homage to Vern, who I respect so much. So those are the only two things you might hear sneak into a game, but no, I don't do any kind of, Holy Toledo or, Mel Allen and even Dick Enberg, "Oh my," Mel Allen's was, "How about that?" I just, it was never my thing, and it's not anything I ever fell into.
I like that. Actually, just wondering, do you have one analyst that's going to be with you along the ride? Do we know that?
I think my first couple assignments are with Jim Jackson.
Oh.
Who played for 12 teams and played with the Warriors. And I've known Jim for a long time. When I was getting my master's at Ohio State, we played pickup basketball. And I relayed this to him when he was traded to the Warriors. But we were playing this pickup game. It was pretty good. And I was on a pretty quality team and had this great run. And this one guy came in from another team and scored all the baskets. Was laying it in, dunking, shooting jumpers. And I'm thinking, this guy's the greatest player I've ever seen. We got done. He said, "Oh, I play for Ohio State. I'm on the team." I said, "Ah, good." Like this, otherwise I thought this guy dropped in from another planet. He was so good. So I've known Jim Jackson really since, collegiate experience, then through the NBA, and then he's been with Fox, and now he's been with TNT the last couple of years. And he, much like TNT is doing with Stan Van Gundy and others, they find these analysts that really kind of ascend very quickly. So I'm excited to work with Jim. It'll be a little bit like working with Kalen Azubuki in that the younger analysts, you're doing some guiding and coaching and teaching a little bit. But as I always tell those guys, same thing with Jim Barnett, same thing with Kalena, same thing with Jim Jackson. I've never played a minute in the NBA. You've played multiple years in the league. I'll handle the broadcasting stuff. You handle the basketball stuff because you're the expert in that area and can relate to so many things the fans want to hear.
I'm glad you mentioned Kalena. This was his first year. It's not always easy to step in, even when he had some baby steps as a commentator to build that experience. How do you think Kalena did last season?
I think he was fantastic. I think he was the rookie of the year for Warrior Broadcast. Is that the beauty of Kalena is that we called his games as a player. And unfortunately, you know, I called the play in Milwaukee where he tore his patella and really ended his career. And so I've known Kalena for a long time. I remember very distinctly him getting called up, you know, from then the D League, and his first Warrior game and his first Warrior baskets. That's my voice calling that. So I've known him for quite some time. I thought he was superior on the Warrior pre- and post-game show. Just did such a great job with the guys. So he knew the team. He's a total worker, very coachable, and just a great person. So, you know, Jim Barnett is one of my greatest relationships in my life. And to sit next to someone for 22 years, it is different to have someone new sitting there. But I thought Kalena was fantastic and great enthusiasm. You know, this was a 15-win Warrior season, Kareth, as you and Grant know. And you know, to find Pascal and Mulder and see Jordan Poole develop and get excited for eventual return of Steph and Clay and having Draymond and acquiring Wiggins, I think Kalena really gets it with this team. He connects with the Dub Nation because he'd been on the pre- and post-game show for so long. We played a fair amount of golf together and spent a lot of time together. And I really enjoy him as a person. So I think that bleeds into the broadcast where we're able to laugh and joke and tease with each other a little bit. And as the team is better next year, I think Kalena will be ready to rock and roll in terms of a lot of the basketball specifics that we'll be able to talk about.
Fans get extremely passionate about who's calling these games, what you guys are saying, if you're rewarding the players enough when they do good things. I think they also fixate on the things they don't like. And there, Bob, there are a group of fans who think you talk about officiating too much. I see how you interact with the officials. You've known these guys for 25 years. So when you talk about officiating, you're informed, right? You know what the rules are. You know how these guys call games. I'm just curious to ask you plainly, how do you pick your spots when it comes to talking about the whistles?
Well, I think, you know, 10, 15 years ago when the Warriors were not as good a team, the officiating was a much bigger story in the games because the Warriors needed every leaner call to go their way to even be competitive. And so the frustration in a missed call magnified a lot more. I think as the Warriors got better, officiating receded into the background because the team was so good that a missed call here or there, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a game changer per se. And the other thing too is I've gotten better as a broadcaster to not have that featured. I think, you know, this year and previous years, you know, I don't think we mention the officials very often at all. I think the one thing you have to look at is the NBA likes the call rate at 90%, which means 1 out of 10 calls is probably going to be kicked. And so we'll talk about if the official wasn't in position or the rule itself. You know, the block charge call is brought up quite a bit. Is the player in a legally set defensive position when the player begins the pickup dribble or upward shooting motion? You know, a lot of block charges are missed. And so we'll explain that. Same thing with flagrants and things like that. You'll hear people on other broadcasts, oh, he made a play on the ball, or he didn't mean to do that. That's not in the rule at all. It's just excessive contact or excessive unnecessary, flagrant two, excessive unnecessary, unsportsmanlike. So I've been to the officiating seminar 6-7 times. I've taken all the quizzes. I've taken the video test. I've scored better than some of the game officials, so I feel pretty good about that. But no, I have a great rapport with a lot of the officials in the league. And so it's part of the game. I think to say everything, oh, it's a tough call, it's a tough call, it's a tough call, you're not doing your job. Sometimes if it's a really good call, you say that. If it's a kicked call, you might say that. And then we sometimes have the replay where live it looked like it was missing. You say, hey, you know what? He got him. That was a really good call. So I think that's a tired, you know, maybe reaction to Warrior broadcast that probably was accurate 10, 15 years ago. But recent years, I think that is something that, you know, maybe people hang on to that they shouldn't.
You know the rules so well. And this reminds me to ask you, do you feel like Steph Curry gets enough calls? Especially when he's driving to the contact that he takes. And then still he has these amazing stats. And maybe, like some other players in the NBA, he would get more whistles in other situations.
Well, there's two things there. Is that if Steph Curry got James Harden's whistle, Steph would shoot 15 free throws a night. So there are players that game the officials and really live at the free throw line. And that's part of their game. And they really, they don't fool the Scott Fosters and the quality officials. They fool the lesser guys and gals. And so that gets a little frustrating because they're, you know what they're doing. They're not playing basketball as much anymore as they're playing the free throw game. That's not great to watch, and it's not really good basketball. I think where Steph is misofficiated is off the ball. Guys grab, clutch, bounce, and hit him all the time off the ball because that's really only the only way to guard him. The other thing, too, is the officials focus primarily on the ball. So they're not watching off the ball as much. You can get away with a lot more. So to me, once Steph has the ball, you can't manhandle him as much. But off the ball, this freedom of movement thing, Steph and Clay try to move freely a lot and are prohibited from doing that. And that's really the kind of the game plan to try to slow down the Warriors. So, yes, when I see Steph, who, you know, I would consider a friend and somebody I care about, kind of getting manhandled a lot, that bothers me. So do I get frustrated with that once in a while? Yes, I do.
So, you know, going back to the last question, and you know, and by the way, I think I would say majority of the NBA, except for the opposing team, whoever's playing the Warriors, I think everyone agrees about Steph Curry just being held off the ball all the time. It's just, he just doesn't get, for some reason, doesn't get the same superstar calls as other players. It's interesting. But going back to something you said regarding the officiating and maybe some criticisms out there, you said you're always looking to improve as a broadcaster as well. You know, do you even hear any, like, do you, I don't know if you're on social media or unless you have a burner account. Do you have a burner account, Bob Fitzgerald? Okay. Do you hear any of those type of criticisms, and like, does it matter to you? Like, how do you find the ways to improve your own style and your own brand?
Well, I think you watch some of the things that you do, obviously. And sometimes you'll watch and say, I'm saying the same word a bunch of times or the same phrase. I need to knock that off. So I think that's one. And the other one is you listen to people, the credibility in the league that you respect and care about. And if you have something that you're wondering about, you might run something by them and, hey, what do you think about this? But, you know, I think all three of us deal with, you know, the public and things like that. You cannot worry about the internet. You just can't. And, you know, if you're doing something for 30 years, you'll find people that love you, say people that you annoy, whatever. That's just life in the big city and part of the job and not anything that you need to really sweat.
Yeah.
I think there's a saying like that. Oh, I'm sorry, Grant, but it's don't take criticism from somebody you wouldn't go to for advice. Make sense?
That's pretty deep. I've never heard that.
I like that one, actually.
There you go. Really? Again, just rule out the internet. Sorry, go ahead, Grant.
Yeah, internet, you're out. So looking at it, Clint Azubuike working with you, and it's funny to think, you know, you're broadcasting his games and, you know, Kalena wasn't necessarily a featured star player on the Warriors at the time. Definitely he had his role and he was great in his role. Isn't funny to think about like what players you might have, you know, broadcasted these last 10 years or even on the current team that you maybe wouldn't expect necessarily to become a big broadcaster? Or are there people you kind of label and be like, I bet that guy is going to end up being a broadcaster at some point?
That's interesting is that, because we've had way too much downtime, I've looked at from 1993 to this year, how many coaches I've had with the Warriors, that's 12, and then how many players have played for the Warriors during the time I've done games, that's 261. So out of those 261, you think of basketball conversations or different maybe career aspirations for different guys, how many would have gone into this business? And maybe the one guy that he's done some stuff that I think if he really, really focused on it, he would be super fun is probably Baron Davis. And so if Baron was a game analyst, You know, it didn't surprise me Chris Webber went in and did that. Mike Dunleavy's in the front office. I think he would be an excellent analyst. Kalena was always a very thoughtful, very personable guy. So that doesn't surprise me that he did this. But, you know, the broadcasting, Jarrett Jack, I think, would be really good. I think Jason Richardson would be really good. Antoine Jameson has done stuff with the Lakers, but now he's in the front office of a team. So you run into guys where when you talk basketball and life and how they interact and in the conversations you have, you go, yeah, if they wanted to do the old talking thing for a living, it probably would work out for them.
Yeah, and you see Draymond Green just did Inside the NBA.
Draymond could do whatever he wants to do. I think everybody knows that. Same thing with Steph. They could do whatever they wanted.
Right.
How about on the court next year? And we can wrap it up here, Bob. There's so much wonder about if the Warriors are healthy, can they be contenders again? What is next season going to be like with the nucleus of Steph and Klay and Draymond? New pieces around them, potentially a draft pick, the trade exception. What do you think the future holds for the Warriors in the immediate future next season? Can they get back to those championship ways?
Well, I could not be more excited about the Warriors going forward, because as you prepare for these playoffs and you watch all the different teams, you see how good some of the Western teams are and just the talent level in the league. But Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and a lottery pick. If they were lucky enough to get the top pick, then they can pick whomever they want. And there are plenty of top four or five players that I think will benefit this team. Then you have Marquese Chriss, Eric Paschal, Kevon Looney, Damian Lee, Mike Mulder. I mean, I love the core of this team. Then you have a $17 million trade exception and potentially the mid-level exception. I think the Warriors will be, when you say contender, Kareth, they'll be in the mix right away. Now, the days of they're so talented, they're going to run through teams in the West? No, I don't think that's possible, because the Lakers are good and the Clippers are good and Dallas is good and Denver is good and OKC is good. But I do think that the Warriors kind of core four, I think Wiggins is vastly underrated. I think he's going to fit in beautifully with Steph, Klay, and Draymond. I think that their center spot, whether through the draft or with Chris and Looney, is going to be excellent. I think Bob Myers and his staff and Joe Lacob are not going to just sit pat having the free agents. I think they have opportunities there. August 20th is kind of the first day. You know, like, let's see the lottery order and see where the Warriors pick, and then you can maybe – plug in a specific young guy. But you also, too, remember, you potentially have Minnesota's lottery pick the next year. I mean, they're in a very good situation. And I like the ages of their star players, because I still think they have one more run in them. But I love where the Warriors are and excited to see where they're going to go and the battles that they're going to have down the road.
I am so excited for next season. And in the meantime, Bob, I'm really excited to see you on TNT. Thank you for a moment of your time. Actually, Bob, I think I'm one of the only five people on the planet who calls you Bob. Yeah. Fit. I know. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us on the Run in Place podcast.
Yeah, remember, Kareth, Bob Fitzgerald's my father. So every time you say Bob, I look over my shoulder to see if my dad's hanging out.
I'm excited for that first yes sir in the playoffs. I'm excited.
I'll sneak it in just one time, just for you, Grant. You got it.
That's awesome.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.